Amber lights pulsed as Seaman Jake Price ran down corridor after corridor, trying to concentrate on finding his way through Tartarus Station, despite the alarm's constant assault on his ears. He'd been able to make it out of the outer wing easily enough. The Union bureaucrats had kept him there so long that he knew that part of the station by heart. But the moment he'd reached the hatch that led into the rest of the station, he was lost. Something must have gone pretty wrong. The desk jockeys would never have left that hatch unguarded unless all mayhem was breaking loose. That was certainly what the blaring klaxon suggested. It had woken him from a deep sleep, and absurdly, his first thought was that he'd slept through breakfast. Never would have happened in the steel system. His daily routine was slowly losing the clockwork rigor left over from life in the Darkstream military. The bureaucrats were keeping Jake and the other steel system refugees in a state of limbo, cut off from the rest of the galaxy, alone, wholly unsure of what would become of them. It had been affecting all of Oneiri Team, the elite team of mech pilots he'd found himself commanding during what they now called the Mech Wars, a fitting name considering the most notable combatants. The progenitors hadn't been able to keep his pilots down, but lately, it seemed the bureaucrats were succeeding where the aliens had failed. Ash, Beth, Marco, Mara, Lisa, and Andy, they all grew increasingly listless, sleeping longer and speaking less, showing less and less interest in what might be happening in the galaxy around them and in what might become of them. And yet, when the screaming alarm and blaring lights had spurred Jake from his bunk, he found the outer wing empty, as well as the other Oneiri members' bunks. Apparently, they'd chosen today to be on time for breakfast. The station only had two cafeterias, centrally located so that meals would disrupt the station's routines as little as possible. For every meal, guards had escorted Oneiri Team and the other refugees through a labyrinth of corridors until they came to a sea of metal tables and chairs where they ate the sort of freeze-dried gruel that served as food in space. Now, Jake racked his brain to remember the route, which he'd paid only passing attention to before. Every intersection looked familiar, which made sense since they all looked basically the same. Was it a left here or a right? Not for the first time, his inability to use his implant to contact his teammates made him curse. Away from Steel's system net, the things were next to useless, and integrating them with the station's narrow net had not been at the top of the bureaucrat's to-do list. At last, he reached the cafeteria to find it milling with thousands of people, well beyond its official capacity. Clearly, it was being used as some sort of staging area, or as a corral for panicking station workers. That seems more likely. Keeping track of the time was one of the few things his implant was still good for. It took 14 minutes of searching to track down Oneiri Team. He found them in the usual arrangement. Marco Gonzalez sat with a hand on his chin, staring into space, no doubt turning something over in his mind. Ash Sweeney and Beth Arcanian leaned back against a cafeteria table, joined at the leg. Andy Miller and Lisa Sato sat apart from the others, having some sort of lover's quarrel from the looks of it. And Mara Odell sat alone, wearing a faint grimace, as though wondering how she'd ended up here. Seeing Andy and Lisa together brought Jake a sharp pang, even though they were arguing. It had taken him a while to figure out what those pangs meant, which had helped him to realize just how out of touch with his feelings he truly was. Is not knowing your own feelings a male thing, a soldier thing, or a human thing? He found it hard to tell. Oneiri, attention, he barked. For a moment, they all just looked at him, blinking. It was the first time since they arrived back in the Milky Way that he'd given them an order of any kind.